this is it. Now, always there's somebody that shows up next Thursday. So we'll be standing out there so we can laugh at you. This is it till September. And September, it looks like we're going to be studying the Sermon on the Mount. At least that's what's happening for me. And that'll be fun. Greatest sermon ever preached. But this is it, so that you know that. Although, if you want to keep bringing the food, that will be okay. So then we got a piece of property on we're getting a piece of property on Sterling and close to Hiatus. And it was the old Child Evangelism Fellowship campground, 17 acres, and Christ the Rock bought it out from under us. And I was upset. And then we had a piece of property out here on Pines Boulevard, and I was really going after it. And the Academic Village out there bought it out from under us. It was about 20-some acres. And I was just upset, and I kind of caved in and quit and took the big rendering off the wall of what we were going to build. And I got a call from Rick Hornsby. There's a piece of property basically on Flamingo and 595 for sale. And he said it's somewhere between 57 and 60 acres. And I said, oh, my goodness, how much do they want? And he said they want $500,000 an acre, $30 million. And he said, but that's what they want. Let's just go offer something. And so we went in. Instead of $500,000 an acre, we offered $50,000 an acre instead of $500,000. Couldn't even look across the table at the man. He was going to build a factory here for and make vitamins to send to South America, and this neighborhood over here, no factory's coming. And so he countered, instead of 50, he countered at 53,000, and we're all in shock. I think he realized he needed to unload his property. And we go to lunch afterwards, and they're saying to me, three business guys, you don't look very happy. And I said, we just committed to $3.1 million. And then I said, how much does Sheridan House have? I said, we have $10,000. What were we thinking? And it was my son who called, and we were talking, I told him about it. He said, Dad, you've been an interim in all these churches. Go ahead and ask churches to buy 1 or 2 acres. And they did. And again, I'm ecstatic, but I knew I'd never see anything built here. And but I would just drive up and pray and thank God, not even ask for buildings, thank God. And that's when Dan Whiteman called and said, when are you building? And he was on the board. And I said, Dan, we don't have any money to build. He said, well, let me pull a group together. And he pulled a group of contractors together, Stiles and him and all these guys, and they each took a building. And Debonair and everybody else helped, and it was just kind of amazing. But I remember asking God, boy, you had me that 2 or 3 years discouraged. And I didn't hear an audible voice, but I sort of did. You chose discouragement. You chose discouragement. Bob, your favorite verse is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And you can lean so far till you fall over. And in all your ways, all your decisions, acknowledge me. I will direct your path. I needed you out of the way, Bob. You were so aggressive in the wrong way. Plus, you were settling for too little. Wow. He doesn't love us more than you. In fact, this property's not going to be in heaven. You are. So, bottom line is, I trust you, Lord. There is one area, though, of our lives that we need to work on, and that one area we're going to look at today. And it's interesting to me that Paul, in prison, chooses, while he's in prison, to give a list of men. And I was looking up each man, and today's man is going to be very, very interesting, because today's man, Paul is going to call for forgiveness for this man, for Onesimus, forgiveness. And I've told the story of Corrie Ten Boom before, but Corrie Ten Boom, who wrote The Hiding Place, and she and her sister Betsy were in Germany during the Nazi era, and they were Christians hiding Jews in a place in their house so that they wouldn't go to concentration camps. They get caught for doing it, and they also get put in a concentration camp, and they get put in Rivendell, and Rivendell was all females, and they were doing horrible things to those women. They were also doing gynecological experiments with those women, and Betsy died, and I mean, people were just dying. War's over, Corrie gets released, and she becomes an evangelist in Europe. And she goes through Europe preaching and preaching and preaching, and she's there in Germany somewhere doing a massive Billy Graham type revival, gives an altar call, and a man comes forward, and they First he asks her, could Jesus forgive somebody even like me? And she says, of course. And then he says, can you? Mm-hmm. And she says,
no.
I have no options. And gave him a hug. Mm-hmm. This is why, yeah, this is why God used Corrie Ten Boom. Because she knew there's no options here. If all of us have had someone do an injustice to us, and all of us think they don't deserve forgiveness, or they haven't asked for forgiveness, and there's no options here. So he picks up Onesimus. Onesimus is the name of one of the many men who had joined Paul in prison. When you're in a Roman prison, they don't feed you. They don't take care of you. Somebody better take care of you or you die. And so people have come. Onesimus is one that has come to be there. And Paul chooses to put him in there. But he also has written a book called Philemon. And the whole book of Philemon is to a man named Philemon telling him, you have to forgive Onesimus, the runaway slave of yours who stole your money. And we're going to look at Philemon also. But the verse for today, I'm also sending Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, one of your own people. He and Tychicus, however you say that guy's name, will tell you everything that's happening here, everything that's going on here. So I'm going to turn over to Philemon because this shorter epistle, this is targeted. This is just a letter asking a wealthy man named Philemon, please forgive him for what he's done to you. That is why I'm boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing for you to do, but because of our love, I prefer simply to ask you, consider this as a request from me, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us. I'm sending him back to you. I'm sending him back to you. And with him comes my own heart. I think for me, the picture here is, he would have loved to have kept him, but because of his love for Philemon, he didn't want anything causing Philemon not to grow in Christ. Not to grow in Christ. It's not that I would love to keep him here, but I also love you, Philemon. You've got to choose. You've got to choose. Yeah, verse 13. I wanted to keep him here with me while I was in these chains for preaching the gospel, preaching the good news. And he would have helped me on your behalf. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I wanted you to help because you were willing, not because you were forced. Not because you were forced. Yeah, I'm doing this for you, Philemon. It seems you lost Onesimus for a little while so that you could have him back forever. Forever. He is no longer like a slave to you. He's more than a slave. For he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and a brother in the Lord. Yeah. Forgive him. Love him. Forgive him. So, if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. Wow. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, and I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. When you see that verse 19 in the Bible that's written differently, it's because Paul is dictating. He's blind. He's blind. So he's dictating. So they help him write this part with his own hand. Yes, my brother, please do this favor for the Lord's sake. Give me this encouragement. Wow. Sending home a slave who stole and ran away. Yeah. There's a brokenness that has to happen. But there's a realization that has to happen. Who do I think I am not to forgive somebody else after what he's forgiven me for? Yeah. In Jude 1:24 it says, now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. Done. No fault when you get there. The act of forgiving It's so contrary to our natural man self that it reveals to others that you have Christ in you. Why is it unnatural to forgive for us? Not for you, but for other people. There's a deserve word in here for me. They don't deserve forgiveness. Well, the Lord's Prayer, which is incorrectly called the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is actually John 17. But the model prayer in Matthew 5:43. You've heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you'll be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. If you only love those who love you, what reward is that? Even corrupt tax collectors do as much. This is written by a tax collector, Matthew. Now, in the old days when I was in the children's home, we had one children's home, and we did a verse a day. You didn't have to do it, but you got bonused if you memorized the verse. And you had to go to one of the staff if you memorized the verse and repeat it to them before bedtime that you've memorized this verse. We just gave them one a day. And if they came to me, you knew that I was going to make you paraphrase it. Okay, you got it, Danny, you got it perfect. Do it in your own words. He said, oh, I can do that. If you're kind to a dog, he licks you. If you're mean to a dog, he bites you. I thought, oh my goodness. Yeah. Oh. This will never come naturally. It can only be supernaturally. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do it. Do what it says. Yeah, I appeal to you to show kindness to my child Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. The command to forgive is so important that God had Paul write about it in this letter, and it became a book in the Bible. There are no options to forgiveness. There are no options. So Matthew 6:5 goes on to say in the Lord's Prayer, and we'll get there. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on streets and corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth. That is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself and shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in heaven. Pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating the words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask. So you almost want to say then, why do I pray? Yeah, if you already know what I need, why do I pray? It's called developing a relationship. Developing a relationship. You know, early marriage for me, and Rosemary wanted to do all this talking at night when we get home. And I remember thinking, could you give me some time parameters? How long do we, I never said this, but I want to know, how long do we have to talk? I'd really rather watch the game. And I realized as we talked and as we read books out loud to each other, we got so much closer. We developed the relationship portion. He wants a relationship with this little child called Bob. And then he says, pray like this, because they had just asked him, you go off and pray. How do we do this? And you know this, and I'm going to read it in a different translation you probably haven't memorized it in. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. One translation says, just as we have forgiven those. It's almost like proportionally. Just as much as I have. Well, I want total forgiveness. But two verses down from that, only one part of the Lord's Prayer is repeated. So we don't miss it. It's in verse 14. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse, because it is a choice, if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. What does that mean? Bob, how dare you? After all I did to forgive you, I could have stepped off that cross. Oh, and by the way, son, I said on the cross, dying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Yeah. Wow. The command to forgive is the one admonition in the Lord's Prayer that is so important that Jesus immediately reiterates it so that they don't miss it. Don't want you to miss it. Don't want you to miss it. Yeah, Romans 12:1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to Christ, to God, because of all he's done for you. Because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Because we're starting to think, yeah, but this person that did this, said this, stole this, they don't deserve... You're doing it for yourself, not for them. And why are you sacrificing this? Because of all he has done for you, let it be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he finds acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Yeah. Luke 23:34 on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And what they're doing, the rest of that verse, and the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice right under him. This is the only person that ever walked the planet, God in skin, that could have said, end this part, this world again. We did it once with Noah, we're going to start over. Because the whole purpose, he wants to spend forever in heaven with you. But he wants you to be useful here on earth. I've got things for you to do, Bob. I've got things for you to do. I had the most interesting, probably, experience Sunday. We were talking about it. When I turned 71, I stopped filling pulpits because I would lose Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And it's just time for me to spend time with Rosemary. And then I started going to your church and love it. I love sitting with my wife. And it's the first time in 39 years I've been able to take notes and sit under somebody else's sermon. And my friends who are pastors are calling, do you miss the pulpit? No. I really don't. I get to have the men's Bible study, which forces me to study. I like going to church. But out of nowhere, 3 months ago, I get a call from Brian Brookins, who's at Riverside Church, and he says, I need to get out of town for Mother's Day. Can you fill the pulpit? And I don't know what I was thinking. I said yes. And the agony of trying to write sermons again, and I said yes, and I told Benetta, and she said, good for you, and Rosemary, good for you. I disagreed with you not doing pulpits anyway. And so... I'm driving up to Tamarack on Sunday asking God, why did you have yes come out of my mouth? This is just crazy. And it's got two sermons. And finally, Doug Souter let me out of Father's Day. But they've got four sermons. I'd be a vegetable for the next 3 days. And so I'm driving up, and, you know, there's a reason would you reveal it. And I got there, and I got into a situation with a family up there whose daughter had been missing for 4 days up in Tamarack, and they were there, and I get into this situation, and I ended up spending hours on this situation after, and drove away, and I wept. So it wasn't to have me teach. It was to have me get into the middle of the situation that I never would have gotten into. Wow. How do you do that? I mean, don't do it again, but how do you do that? Yeah, wow. You go, Lord. Wow. Forgiving another person is not letting them off the hook. Forgiving someone who has done something to you is to honor and obey the Lord. Honor and obey the Lord. Yeah, the whole thing of them stoning Stephen had such an impact on some of the Pharisees, including Paul. Huge impact. Because he was preaching the gospel and forgiving them. Yeah. B, let you off the hook of bitterness and disobedience. Bitterness. And are we in a bitter culture now? Wow. Don't be like them. Don't be like them. So we have a neighbor. I live in a zero lot line community. She just moved in from Hialeah, widow. And the last hurricane, and she was avoiding us a little bit, to tell you the truth. Our neighborhood thinks we're religious wackos, I think, I don't know. And a tree went down that we kind of share and wiped out a fence that's really my fence. and the fence on the other side of her property is her fence. And she's in her mid-80s, and so I called a friend and got a price on getting the tree out and rebuild the fence. And Rosemary comes to me and says, you know, she's come over and said she just give her the price, she'll split the price. And Rosemary didn't talk to me about this. She said, we got it, which is classic Rosemary. We got it. We'll pay for the tree removal. And it was a huge tree, and we'll pay for the fence. And I said, okay, I mean, no. It'd be better if you talked to me about it a little bit beforehand, but okay. Well, Bob, she just moved in here. We need a relationship with her. And it turns out, who are you? The guy who took out this massive fence is Bob Geisinger's son, who does tree removal, and there was no bill. Took out the tree, I mean, the tree. And so, okay, I need to have a better attitude about this. And we have such a close relationship with that widow now. It's unbelievable. I know you know, and you own all the money anyway, and I'm overblessed financially anyway. Yeah, let you off the hook of bitterness and disobedience. Yeah. Forgiving is not for the other person, it's for you. Forgiving another person is letting the captive free, only to realize the captive was me. The captive was me. Me. The anger had gotten me, Lord. So, perhaps the greatest forgiveness, number 7, perhaps the greatest form of forgiveness is to forgive someone who hasn't even asked for forgiveness. Now, I know you know I can hardly teach or be in a pulpit without talking about Joseph. But the thing that makes Joseph so amazingly great is he had already forgiven his brothers who sold him into slavery. And they knew he was dead. They couldn't possibly fathom what God was going to do with Joseph. And because of Joseph's purity and didn't sleep with Potiphar's wife for 11 years, Ted Turner did a movie called Joseph. And the woman he put in to play Potiphar's wife, wow. And the number of seductive scenarios, her following him into the bath, and he refused to be even near her, and then he does the right thing and goes to prison for running from her, and she tells a lie. And then after 2.5 to 3 years of running the prison, basically, because he had leadership skills, rather than being bitter and angry, he becomes prime minister in one day, prisoner to prime minister. It's the most awesome story. And when I get to heaven, I really hope I get to spend time with Joseph, because I just want to see his different moods. When you got put in prison for doing the right thing, running from Potiphar's wife rather than finally sleeping with her, were you good with that? Or did you spend a season of, because there's no indication. Joseph is one of the two people in the Old Testament, no sin is told about him. We know he had to sin. But then his brothers come to town after 7 years of plenty, and he's storing all these foods, and Pharaoh has him handing out and selling the food, and his brothers come to town, and they don't know it's him. And he met with all the foreigners who came looking for food, because Egypt was fat with food. Because of Joseph's administrative skills, his brothers come to town, and you would not look a king in the eye. So looking down, and he's using a Hebrew interpreter, even though he doesn't need one, because he's trying to check them out. And as he's checking them out, he gives them their food and puts all the money back in their bags, and then does a test on them. And the test was, he keeps, I think it was Simeon, in prison. Go home, when you come back, is there any other brothers? And he knew there was another. He had a younger brother. Come back with everybody or you get no food, and he stays in prison. So they come back. They discover who he is. They're weeping. He loves them. But there's an interesting thing he does. He doesn't bring them to live in the palace with him. He puts them out in Goshen. I love you. I just need to get to know you better. We have put a phrase together that shouldn't be together called forgive and forget. You should never forget. You've been given the privilege of experiences to learn from. I love you. I have forgiven you before you even arrived here. You know, I just wonder, were you praying for him? Did you handle the food with all the foreigners for this very day, hoping it would happen? And chose to forgive even the horrible things they did to him. He was a great man because he forgave what we might think is the unforgivable. Yeah, number 8, No, this first. Do this. Why? In Romans 12, because of all he has done for you. Because of all he's done for you. Wow. They don't know what you did in high school. They don't know what goes through your bizarre thoughts that go through your brain every now and then. I know. Keep confessing some. But once you've confessed it, it's gone. Because when you get to heaven, it says to remember it no more. God doesn't remember. He chooses. Oh, that's forgiveness, isn't it? He chooses to remember it no more. Yeah. Choosing not to forgive damages your heart and your usefulness for Christ. It is a choice. It is a choice. It's an active choice. And in the book, Forgive and Love Again, which is an amazing book for marriage, but it's an amazing book about choosing. And when you're choosing to forgive somebody, you're choosing to pray for them, you're choosing to do for them. And it's your form of worship because of what he's done for you. Yeah, Colossians. I am sending Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, one of your own people. He and Tychius will tell you everything that's happened here. And in Philippians 1:8, that is why I'm boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing for you to do. But because of our love, I prefer simply to ask you, consider this request. Paul, an old man, now also a prisoner for the sake of Christ. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he's very useful to both of us. The other thing I want to ask in heaven, Paul, you wrote all these letters. Did you ever dream? Did you ever dream they'd be the Bible? And sending this letter here, and then all of a sudden, it's in the Bible? I mean, Paul, did you ever have, you know, I was an evangelist speaking to thousands, and then I get put in prison, and then this thorn in my flesh of being blind, and now I'm sending letters out. Oh, yeah. That changed the world. Writing almost half the New Testament. That changed the world. You don't know what you're leaving behind. Just do what's in front of you to do. Just give. Just speak up. Just serve. And be radical about it. So the bitter out there sees, wow, there are generous people. Wow. Why? Jesus. It's all Jesus. I've told you about my aunt. When my mom died, my grandma came to live with us at 16. I was 16 when she died. And my grandma, I come from really tough German stock. And the women on my German side of the family are enormous women. And Grandma Nana was huge. And she called my Aunt Jean, my dad's older sister, and said, you need to come up here for a couple of months. Bobby's out of control. And I was terrified of her. I knew there was a Marine Corps tattoo somewhere on her body. And she comes up, and she had a phrase, and just crass, foul mouth, but she had a phrase, Bobby, for Christ's sake, what are you doing? It was years later I realized she was right and didn't know it. For Christ's sake, what am I doing? You're not, he didn't let you be here for your sake. So that others would know about him because of my life. Yes. Choose to forgive.